Praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome to our podcast, A Cup with Pastor. I'm Pastor Jonathan with Jubilee Ministries, and I want to welcome you to today's episode. Today we have our First Lady from our church, my wife, my lovely wife. She'll be coming on here shortly. We'll be bringing her on, and I believe that God has a special word for you. You know, there's a testimony involved in this, and as we begin to look into more of the testimonies and talk about more about Jesus, which is what this podcast is all about. It is about getting to know, you know, the Word of God, preaching the Word of God, having a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. I know that we are now in the days where people have tea. They drink all kinds of other stuff, you know, all kinds of warm drinks and cold drinks. So it's interesting. But yeah, hey, welcome. Welcome to today's podcast. And so what I want to do is ask you, you know, while we wait for people to get on, I want to know what it is. What are you drinking? What it is, you know, what are you drinking? So I got my cup of coffee here. You know, I try to give you I'm going to go with the y'all today. Y'all from Palo Duro Canyon. It's kind of hard for y'all to see that. There we go. It's a coffee cup I got over there in Amarillo, Texas, in the Palo Duro Canyon. And it says y'all. So it's like the most Texan thing that we're known for down here, more like a stereotype, but yeah, we say y'all. So good morning, Sister Marisol. Good morning, Sister Tracy, Sister Crystal. It's good to see all of you. Thanks for jumping in and supporting. So what are you drinking? Throw it in the chat there. What are you drinking? Are you drinking coffee? That's yes. Yep. First Lady, she took over my cup. I had an Owala cup. I guess that's the way you say it. Owala? 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 I don't know. Owala, I think. And she took over my cup because it looked so nice. She thought it was cute. But nah, I'm kidding. I wasn't going to keep it anyways. It wasn't doing the job for me. It was one of those insulated ones, but it was supposed to keep coffee warm for like a few hours, but it didn't really do the job. It only did like an hour and a half, which wasn't because it has an open hose. So it's just the heat was just going out right out of it. But hey, man, good morning to everybody. So as we think about this cup with Pastor thing, our podcast here, I want you to think about as you're listening to First Lady, I want to bring her on here, and as she comes to bring on her testimony, I want you to think about somebody, maybe you, where God brought you from. Maybe you weren't raised in church. Maybe you weren't always, you know, around the church folk, and you lived a different life, and you were out there, you know, living a life that was the way that the Lord had not yet called you to live, and then he calls you and you come from a different area, a different background, because I can tell you about my testimony all day, but I was raised, you know, in the faith. I was raised from the time I was small. I've never been out of the faith. So, but I asked First Lady to come on here and share her testimony because she has a powerful testimony to include. There's going to be a moment she's going to refer to as a moment that when she was around our family, my family, around Thanksgiving, and it just, there was something that happened in that moment that just really let her feel, I want to say her first touch of God's grace and presence, but I'll let her explain that to you. So, but yes, welcome, and I'm going to bring her on, so just hold up just a second here. Let me get to that point. We're going to bring on First Lady. First Lady, welcome to A Cup with Pastor. Oh, she got a nice little background going on there.
Good morning. Yes, I had to add the virtual background.
you know, we do not have a pool in our backyard, by the way. I would love to have a pool.
I'm on vacation, guys. No, just kidding.
Welcome. It's good to have you. You know, I know that this was kind of one of those things where she doesn't have a script. I wanted her to go based off of what she felt in her spirit, but and I really want you to just share your testimony of what God has done, how he brought you into this, you know, whatever you feel to be led by the Spirit of God to share it. But, you know, tell us a little bit about your early days and just where you were at that time.
Okay. Yeah. You know, Pastor's right. He completely caught me off guard. He's like, you want to join me on Saturday? And I was like, sure. I have no idea what I was going to say in a sense, but I know where God was trying to say. I've never really like totally shared my full testimony. I've shared bits and pieces of it. You know, I come from a a good home. You know, my parents are awesome. They raised us in the right way. They made sure that we went to church. I was brought up in, you know, the Catholic Church, did from baptism all the way to confirmation and First Communion as well. And it was something that was the normal. It was something that I thought was always supposed to be that way. When I want to say, like, after I was around between 18 and 20, I just started struggling, like just going through life. And I was just, you know, trying to decide what I wanted to be in life. I was graduating high school. I was at that point, and my parents were like, we're going to move to Seminole. So it was a smaller town, smaller than Fort Stockton, because I am from Fort Stockton, born and raised. And that's just our town that we've lived in all of our lives. And I mean, a couple of years we lived here in El Paso with my parents, and then we had moved back because of my father's job. But moving to Seminole was really hard because there was no friends. I was not in school anymore. The only way that we could meet people is through our jobs. And of course, like, my brother, he was still in high school, so he did his junior year at Seminole High School there. And but he really felt to be called, like, to go home and graduate high school at Fort Stockton. And that's where my parents felt like, oh, maybe you should go with him so that at least he can live in the house that they had there in Fort Stockton. And I was like, it wasn't a choice that I would have made, because I was, in that time, all my friends were in college. They were doing, you know, what, you know, they wanted to do, and they weren't in the town anymore. And I'm just like, what am I going to go back to? Like, there's no one there for me. And you know, my friends that were there, they were in their own life. Like, I was no longer part of their day in and day out. So I kind of struggled at that point, and I was like, okay, like, you know, doing what my parents asked of me, to be there for my brother. And I did. The first couple of months was like, well, the first month was really hard. I could say I started going through a depression. I was just going to work, coming home, and just trying to figure things out. And, you know, I got a hold of my best friend, and she had just had her baby. And, you know, I would go hang out with her at home, and while she was, you know, taking care of her son. When her son was, like, when they were good, when she was able, like, to be released, to be able to go out, that's where we just started going out, you know, going to dances, partying. You know, we had no home structure because our parents weren't there, obviously. So we felt we could do whatever. And
so you were living the life of not being in the home anymore. You know, you're on your own. The first, you know, you're pretty much free to do whatever you want, and the power of choices and decisions are in your hands.
Right, right. And, you know, through being brought up, I mean, my parents always made sure you got to go to church. You got to make sure you're going to church. Either it's on a Saturday or a Sunday, but you're going to church. And I try to do the same thing. Me and my brother, we would try to make sure that we went to church on the weekends. But it wasn't something that was connecting. It wasn't something that was holding me there to say, like, nothing that was holding me accountable, I could say that. So once we're like, oh, we went to church, our sins are wiped clean, we can start over again, we can go do whatever. And, you know, soon we're bringing home cases of just alcohol into the house, and, you know, or I would show up at home, like, getting off of work, and, like, I closed because I worked at Walmart and I was closing, and I would get off at work at home, and I get at home, I was like, oh, I can chill. But then my brother had his friends there. So there was something, so I had to kind of keep going with the flow. And then, so it was always either involving our cousins, friends, family that would come over to the house, because obviously there was no supervision there. There was nobody to hold us accountable and say, like, oh, you guys shouldn't be doing this. Mm-hmm. And yes, like, my grandparents lived right across the street from us, but they were grandparents, you know, they lived across the street. They went to sleep early. And as long as we're like, oh, as long as you guys are out by like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, we're good, because my grandpa wakes up like at 5 in the morning.
Right.
So people would leave around that time. But I was just going through this depression, and I was trying to find things. I was trying to figure out, what is this hole that I'm missing? Like, is it because I don't have a boyfriend? Is it because, like, I don't have my friends with me? Or I'm searching. I'm looking at, and I'm hanging out with my friends, and I'm just like, okay, this is a life. This is a normal, like, partying, going to dances, coming home. And, you know, I look back and I'm like, by the grace of God, like, he had me covered.
Come on.
Driving home, because there are sometimes I don't even realize how I made it home or how I even was able to take people home. I was the ride home and I gave them a ride home and I made it home. And I didn't realize at that point that God was always just covering me in that moment, in those moments. And I was just going through it. And, you know, me and my friends, we would, you know, we would get cases of alcohol and that wasn't paid for. We didn't pay for them.
So you guys were taking it from the top.
That's another story, you know. And, you know, so we would take them home and we'd have ice chests full of like Smirnoff or beer, or, you know. And I was just like, I don't want to like continue this. And I was just, we started like going to different people's houses and parties. And, you know, at the first one, they were offering weed. So we would like smoke weed or something. And then it started just kind of going there from there. So we went from alcohol. So we started doing weed. I never bought it. I was just sharing with other people. But then we started searching for different things. And then people would like offer us different types of drugs, from like coke to crack to how to, you know. And there was a point.
Can I stop you there? Let me ask you something real quick, because you just made me think, and I want you to continue, but I want to emphasize on something. I've heard that a lot from people who have become addicts. You know, they don't realize they're in addiction, and you know, later on in life they get through it, and they always say it always starts with the alcohol, and then it usually goes to marijuana, which is weed, right? And then it's like, then your flesh is like, I need more. I don't have enough. I need something better, something bigger, and then it goes to the drugs. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, First Lady.
So it was kind of rushed. And in all honesty, it was, I think I want to say it started back when trying to smoke a cigarette, and getting that cigarette gave us that, that
nicotine,
that high, that like, oh, like this is like just that relaxing moment where you didn't have to process certain things. And, you know, so it went from there. And then it was at the point to where we were looking for something stronger. And it wasn't something that I shared with a lot of people. My family, my parents, you know, they were supportive parents. Like, they didn't realize the type of life that I had, because I always kept it separate. Like, my outside life from my family life was completely separate from my parents. Like, I wanted to make sure who I was in front of them, I was always that person in front of them. So they, you know, they didn't know where I was going. They didn't know, like, because I coming from a Hispanic home where you don't really talk about your feelings, like, or you can't express them, or you feel like you can't express them, but in reality you could have, but you just didn't realize that you could. So I came to that point. I'm like, what am I doing? Like, why do I keep searching for something just to stimulate something that I didn't even know what I was searching for, in all honesty. I didn't. So after, I want to say about 5 months of doing the same thing over and over, and reaching that point to where we wanted something stronger, and not having a background, not having a spiritual background, or not even having a prayer life, I would say, I knew there was something else. I knew there was something else because I remember going to church, and somebody was at the church that we would go to in Fort Stockton, and someone was doing a hand praise, and I didn't get the reaction that some of the other people got, and they were crying. They were like, they connected to that hand praise. And I was just like, what is that? Like, why, what made them cry or what made them feel that emotion?
Yes.
You know, like, 'cause in church, growing up, like, you really don't see that emotion. You don't see the connection with Christ. You don't see where God is overflowing in them. And it was rough. I was trying to understand, what is this? Because I remember at times, like, I would say my prayers, you know, Our Father, Hail Mary, and at the end of it, I would ask God, you know, I would talk to God, but it wasn't like how I connect with him now, in my prayer. But that, remember that one time in that prayer, I was just asking God to lift the things that, aren't supposed to be a part of me. And I felt something being lifted off, and I was like, okay. And I felt free at the moment. And then, you know, years passed down, and then this is where I'm at this point in my life. And, and I think it was around May, so 5 months after being there with my brother. He's about to graduate high school, and I'm like, God, like, and I'm laying there in bed, because it was just, I got off of work and I didn't want to do anything, and I just wanted to go straight home. And I'm there and I'm laying in bed. I'm like, God, like, what is this? Like, what is this life? Like, I don't want this type of life. Like, I'm like, literally, I felt like I was drowning. I was drowning and I was trying to find it in other things and other people. And it just wasn't happening. It wasn't happening. And so when I prayed that night specifically, and I remember this because I was just like, God, you answered this prayer without even what, I didn't even know what I was asking for per se.
Come on.
When they say that you're specific in your prayer, God is really, he's going to answer it in that form.
Yes.
Because I told him, and I was just like, God, like, I want to change. I want to change. Like, I don't want this type of life anymore. And I told him, I was like, I don't want a 180 degree change. I want a 360 degree change.
Come on.
That's a 360 right. degree change. That means like a complete life change.
Yes.
And I didn't know what I was asking for. I really didn't. I didn't know. I knew what I wanted, and I didn't know what God was going to place in my life. And to say, I want to say a month later, that's when I met my now husband. He started working at Walmart, you know. And it's so weird because, like, my brother graduated high school, so I took a week off and we went on vacation with my parents and my family. And when I got back, he was working at Walmart. And I was just like, and I'm there and I'm waiting to clock in. And he's talking to the hiring manager in the back with the HR. And I'm like, who's this guy? I'm like, that's weird. You know, I've never seen him, never met him. And I knew a lot of people. Okay. Fort Stockton is not a big town. I mean, it's mm-hmm. big, but it's not like, I mean, you practically know everybody as long yeah. as they're around your age range.
Right.
So he's finished talking to her. I'm waiting to clock in because it was about to be 4 o'clock, I think. And so he walks by and he's like, hey, how's it going? I was like, hey, you know, and I was like, oh my gosh, he said hi to me. So, you know, I clocked in, I kind of went from there. And, you know, God just did his thing in those 3 months. Cause as soon as he found out I was moving, he was like, wait, you can't move. Like, who am I going to talk to? And I'm like, you have your friends here that you're working with. You know, it was awkward to me because at that moment as well, I wasn't looking for a relationship. I wasn't looking for, to connect with somebody at that time because obviously I was moving back home and was going to go back to where I was, you know, where I had finally gotten comfortable and I had friends in that place. And you know, it was just, you know, my family was there. My parents were there, my brother, my sister. And of course, my brother was going to start college in Odessa. So that was just something different. So I was not looking for something and I wasn't expecting it. And
it was so weird, right? I mean, the way I'll say this to give you my side of it. I'm going to put a pause here in her testimony so I can give you the insert of where I come in. So yes, I do. I was working at Walmart. I see this, you know, beautiful young lady, and she has like these colored contacts, and I'm like, ooh, I mean, you know, I love her. I love those eyes. Like, you know, I mean, I'm young. I'm out of high school. You know, I'm like, man, I'm not looking for anybody either. She's gonna tell you the same thing too. We weren't like, oh, I want to get married already. I want to find my person. I know who she is, or I know I have no idea, but I knew that in that moment I was like, hey, you know. And then I think she can correct me, but I don't know if we had a few times like we talk here and there, and I'd go by her. She worked at the jewelry section, and I would walk by and greet her and hello and kind of talk and probably flirt with her and everything. And then, you know, the day that I find out that she says, well, I'm going to be moving to Seminole, I was almost like, I'm not even kidding, guys. Like, I don't know if it was my spirit speaking on my behalf, but I was like, wait, what? I go, you can't move. And she's like, what do you mean? I was like, yeah, like, who am I going to talk to? Like, you're the one I talk to all the time. I did not know those were some prophetic words being played out, okay? But they were, because that was a connection. So, all right, so that's where I came in. Go ahead, First Lady.
Yes, so I think I stayed working with Walmart for another 2 months. So there at the end of August, I think I was going to be moving back with my parents to Seminole. And that's when he found out. But as well, I would be calling him because he was like a stockman. So I would call and say, hey, I need help to lift the case or lift something that needs to be put back on top of the thing.
Sure, I would be there in a heartbeat.
You know. But that's just kind of how we connected. And I was like, oh, okay, well. And then I would talk to people and they're like, well, just, you know, just do like talk with him, like, you know, before you move. Like, you don't have to make it serious. And I'm like, oh, okay, you know. in that sense. But it was just like my life was started just to revolve around him. Like he brought a different type of joy. And like when I would go out with my friends, I just wanted to see him. I wanted to see him. And so I'd stop by his house and, you know, just talk to him for a little bit. And then, you know, I would go home. And then after that, like I had to move. So by the end of August, I'm moving. I'm in Seminole, but we're still connected. We're still talking. And I have like a 4-day weekend off. So I would go and I'd go back to Stockton and I'd stay with, go spend time with him in a sense. And then, and it just started getting harder for me. Like my friends and some of them were like, come on, let's go out. And I'm like, I would try to go out with my friends and just that. But I was like, you know what? No, just take me back home. Like, I don't want to be a part of this. And they're like, oh man. Cause I was always like, I guess kind of like bringing people together and, you know, hyping them up or, you know, just, I always brought a joy around my friends and my family. Like they felt better when I was with them. And of course, like they still did their thing when I wasn't, but they felt more, I guess, joyous, I guess, around me. So I was like, no, you know what? Like, I was bummed out. I was like, I can't see them. And the only thing I can talk is talk to him. And so it really like, I was just pressed. I was like, man, I want to just go back and live in Fort Stockton and do that on my own and see that, you know. My parents didn't agree with it. They were like, no, this is something that you're already there. Like, you know, you don't need to go back. Like, we're all here. And I didn't want, and it just, every time I would go back and I would see him, it would just be harder and harder just to say goodbye. By October, we're just like, you know, I need to come back, do it some way, somehow. So by the end of mid-November before Thanksgiving, my sister, she was having a baby shower, and that's when I decided to move without my parents' permission. And it was hard on my part because it wasn't something my parents agreed with, and I did that against their will. And it was a hard start. It was a hard start because they had to endure it because I made those choices, and I quit my job in Seminole at Walmart, and I had to request a transfer to the one in Fort Stockton, and I had to do that on my own and you know, without their help. And you know, they were upset, they were angry, but it was already done at the point. And so when my parents met Jonathan, when they met him, he kind of got the cold shoulder.
Oh yeah, I can explain that. Yeah, look, no parent, and let me just say this: no parent is going to be 100% happy with this person, whoever, man or girl, you know, that takes away their daughter or their son, and they don't really have a lot of background for that person, right? It's like some stranger just coming in and snatching and saying, "Hey, I'm taking your daughter or I'm taking your son, and we're gonna go." Like, we're gone. So, you know, looking back at it now, that was something that I completely kind of aligned to, you know, how they felt in that moment and what they were going through, because it was, you know, for me, when I was there, I was like, man, these guys are really mean. They're really, you know, but it wasn't that they were, I understand it now from a father perspective. I understand where they were coming from. But, you know, to her point, they were kind of like, wait, what? Who is this guy? Like, you haven't told me anything about him. So to them, it kind of seemed like she was making a drastic move without, you know, not really thinking about it.
Right. And so that, you know, he met them on Thanksgiving Day on the morning part. So in the evening part, I went over to his family's place, to his parents' home. And I was there and I was just like, okay. I was like, oh, like, we're going to eat again. I was like, oh, okay. Normally, like, for us, when we would pray for the Thanksgiving meal, whatever we did in the noontime or mid-afternoon, that was the prayer. So we wouldn't go back and pray for our food again because it was already prayed for. But in Jonathan's home, like, they, all this family gathered around together. And I remember meeting his grandma, because his grandma had to leave because she had to, her mom got sick. And so she had to go back to Sierra Blanca. And so when I met her, she had like the kindest eyes. Like, these eyes are like she saw me before she even knew me. Like,
come on.
Her eyes that, like, she, like, God had revealed to her who I was. And she just gave me like her nod. This is okay. She did tell her, you know, her grandson, her first grandson, because that's what Jonathan is, you know, she's like, you know, it's going to be hard, but she's somebody that you should, like, it's okay. Like, you know, if this is who you want, like, she supported him in it from what he told me. Mm-hmm. So, but when I met her, like, she, her eyes were just like the kindest eyes, like the green hazel eyes that she has, and just this beautiful, like, I didn't connect at the point at the time.
Right. Right.
And I was just like, okay, so when I go into the house, like, they're all there and they're ready, like, to pray. And I remember I'm standing there and Jonathan's there, and then his, you know, his parents are on the side, and his Thea Bell and the old Meg and his other family members are there. Like, I hadn't met all of them yet. And they're there and they're,
And in a circle.
Yeah, they're in the circle and they're praying. And I was like, okay.
Hand to hand, yeah.
I was kind of awkward because, you know, I was like, well, what prayer are they going to say, you know, or, you know, because we're taught, right? We're taught mm-hmm. what prayers to say. And then they just started praying. And when I hear them pray, like, they start praying for me. And I'm like,
mm-hmm. yes.
Yeah. And I'm there, I have my eyes, like, I'm looking around, like, you know, you're looking down and then you're looking around, like, okay. And I hear them praying for me and I'm like, they don't know me. They don't mm-hmm. know me, but they're praying for me. And that impacted me, like, so much, because it's just like when somebody prays for you and they don't know you, they don't know you period, or what life that you had, or what, like, but God is revealing, like, pray in this case, pray for them, pray in this sense, and you hear that, and it's just like it opened my heart to a whole nother level. And I remember, like, okay, they said, they finished their prayer and they're like, amen, and then I'm just there and I have, like, this tear, and then Jonathan's Thea Bell, she comes up to me, she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, no, like, I just have something in my eye. And I turn back to the floor, right? And I'm just there. She's like, it's okay. And then she, like, rubs my back. And I'm like, thank you. I was like, you know, and, you know, I love my in-laws. Like, they have just impacted my life in so many ways. And I just remember coming in one time and my father-in-law was like, praise the Lord. And I'm all like,
praise the Lord.
And I didn't know what to say. You know, I didn't know what to say because I'm like,
Let me say, my dad is one, we are country folk, all right? But not country folk like, you know, we got a farm and everything, although I would love a ranch and all that. But I digress. But what I was getting at is just to put some emphasis on what she's saying. My dad is all in this little town of Sierra Blanca, Texas. All everybody says is praise the Lord. And they don't just do like praise the Lord. They go, praise the Lord. You know, they got to put a little praise the Lord in it, a little twang and all that. So, you know, my dad has always been known to say, praise the Lord. You know, I think, what does he call you, love? He calls you granddaughter. No, I'm sorry. He calls you daughter-in-law.
Daughter-in-law.
Praise the Lord, daughter-in-law. Praise the Lord, granddaughter. Praise the Lord, son. You know, so yeah. this is that. Okay, go ahead. This is what he said.
At the time, I wasn't his daughter-in-law.
Right, right.
But he's just like, praise the Lord. And I'm like, I know how to respond. He was there with other church members and Jonathan's grandfather was there. And oh my gosh, like when you meet them, if you've ever met my father-in-law, he is just this joyous, tall, big, stocky dude. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like I got scared. I was scared. Okay. But when I met his grandfather, I was like, this is your grandfather. He's like a 6 foot one or two, and I'm there looking at him. I was like, if you ever imagine a guardian angel that's like super tall and just standing beside you, that was Jonathan's grandfather. Mm. He had the authority, and I didn't realize it at the moment.
Mm-hmm. We lost our grandpa, by the way. I think that's why it's a little touching for her. We did lose our grandfather back a few years ago. And he was a big legacy in our family. He really was. He was the pillar. He truly was the pillar. You want to talk about being a patriarch. He was the patriarch of the family. And the family hasn't, you know, truly all the way recovered yet, even still. It, you know, death and losing somebody has a toll, and it takes a toll on you. And it never goes away from what I hear, you know, ones that are closer to that. But, you know, I'll take over just for a little bit while she gets a little bit more, you know, she's able to get through those tears. It's okay. I understand. But I will say in these moments, you know, you want to hear my side. In the moments, I'm like, I didn't even know that prayer had done that. Because let me be honest with you. We get so used to, I don't want to sound wrong, but it's almost like the formality, the religious part of let's just pray. Okay, everybody prays. All right, we pray. All right, we feel good. Let's go. But we sometimes we don't realize that that God is moving in those prayers, but we just don't recognize it because we're so used to the tradition, the formality, and we get so used to just going through these motions. So in that moment, I mean, I didn't even know that was even happening. I didn't even find this out till long, like later on in our marriage, where she shared with me that part of the testimony, you know. And but all praise be to God, because even in our moments when we're not even ready, when we're not even there mentally, He is there. He is there. He is there with us. He is there in your prayers. And when you declare, and that power of unity that she felt, that was people coming together. That was a unifying experience. And for the first time, and you know, she heard, well, I want to say the first time, but in that moment, she was able to hear strangers that she had no idea they were praying for her. And they were praying that she would be blessed. And she's like, these people don't even know me. Like, they don't know me. I'm asking for a change. What is going on? And, yes. So First Lady, go for it. I'll give you like 2 minutes and we'll hit the break.
Yeah. So, you know, just his family just showed a different side, like a different, it was just a love that's just like you would have never thought, because it's like, you don't, like, they didn't know you, but they shared a love that was just like no other, like they didn't have to know you to love you, if I can say it that way. And you got that from every single person, like every person, every aunt, every uncle. And I was amazed, because I'm like, what am I stepping into? But something that I couldn't even step away out of anymore. Like once you're in, like you're in, like you're always going to be a part of this family. And
that is true.
And so I was there, and you know, Jonathan and I were, you know, in a relationship, and I met all of his tias. And you know, he's like, well, go out for like a drive with them, because he had to go work. He was working night shifts at Motel 6. And I'm like, I don't know them. Like, I just know your mom, you know? And then he's like, oh, no, like, get to know them. And I was like, okay. So I'm riding in the van with his mom, his tia Nomi, his tia Patsy, his tia Belle. And we're riding, and they're just joking around, laughing, and, you know, saying things that, you know, when no mans are around, like, you know, they're joking, but, you know, and I'll, you know, just having fun. And I'm just like, wow, like, you know, and we go to pick up my father-in-law, where they're trying not to laugh or not to giggle, because, you know, he would be like, okay, what are you guys, like, you know, what are you guys getting into trouble about, you know? But this was a different kind of trouble. This was just like a normal laughing trouble, like, you know. And it was just so funny, because I just got to see a different side about everyone, and I got to connect with them on different levels. And, you know, I praise God for that moment. And I just didn't know where God was taking me in that time. So,
yes,
you know, our relationship progressed really fast. We started in August, and by March, we were married, and, you know, with our first daughter on the way. And I remember walking with my mom. This is after past Christmas, past maybe we're in like February. And she's walking, and she's like, yeah, like he's a different religion. And before that, I even remember talking to my brother-in-law, and I was still living in Seminole at the time. And I was talking to my brother-in-law, and it was just really hard. I was like, well, what am I supposed to do? Like I'm Catholic. He's not Catholic. And he's like, well, if he loves you, like maybe he'll change. And I'm like, but wouldn't that be the same thing for me? Like, if I loved him, wouldn't I make the change? Like, why would I have to, like, why would I expect him to do it? Or, you know, or there's something different. Like, there's something different. Like, something told me that I couldn't ask him to do that for me, because that just wasn't how it was. And then, so my brother-in-law he was just supportive. He's like, well, if he wants you, like, he's going to be there for you. And I was like, okay. And, you know, so we're walking there, and we had already found out that we were pregnant with Kiana, with my mom. So she's walking with me, and she's just talking to me. She's like, are you sure, Mia? Like, you know, that's a lot different. In her past, in my mom's past, you know, my grandmother had taken her to different churches, and she had seen the apostolic churches. She had been to them, and she just never connected with them until she went to church with my dad. When my dad took her with her to the Catholic church, that's where she felt God's presence. That's where she connected with Christ. And I never had that experience. I knew that I would go through the rule book. I would go through what was required of me as a Catholic, as, you know, and that was just how I knew, but I never had a connection with Christ. So when we decided just to get married, we got married, and from there, like, we, it progressed. You know, I didn't know where I was going or what it was, but I remember, like, if we're going to have, after Kiana was born, they had a retreat or revival at the park in Sara Blanca. Brother Roy?
Yes.
Ortega?
Brother Roy Ortega. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, they had him as a special guest. He came in and preached. And what he was preaching, it struck me because I was just like, I felt like he was talking to me. It wasn't my story, but his examples were hitting in the right spot. So I remember sitting there with my daughter Kiana, and she's like a month old, like she's very tiny, like, you know, and I'm holding her. And before the preaching came on, Jonathan's sister Becca, she was singing a special song, and she's saying, "My Life Is in Your Hands" by Kirk Franklin. And I just started crying. Like, I was just crying. And then, like, you know, just feeling, I guess I felt his presence, and I didn't know what it was. And I just felt a little bit more what that first prayer was when I heard people pray. And I was just like, and then the preaching came along, and that's what, it just struck another chord with me. And when they stood up and they made the altar call, Jonathan was not expecting me to stand up and go to the front. And he's all like, he was like, what? You know, he's like, what's going on? Like, you know, like,
second.
I still hadn't reached that point because when we were in Fort Stockton, there wasn't really a church. There wasn't something that I could connect with, because when my father-in-law would help out a church, that pastor would come and have church in their home, but it was all Spanish. Mm-hmm. I do speak Spanish, but I couldn't connect with the words. I couldn't connect with the preaching. And when this preaching came out, and he just struck a chord. Like, I always felt alone. I always felt alone, and I know that I wasn't alone. Like, I had people in my corner. I had people there for me, but I always felt that there was something missing. There was something that wasn't a part of me, and I was there in that place, and I remember, and I was like, God, like, you know, I restored my relationship with my family.
Yeah,
you know, I have my husband, I have my daughter, but there's still something missing. Like, what is it? Like, what is it? Like, I would cry out to him. He's not realizing in the moment that he's like, it's me. Like, let me in.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I finally got to that point, I just went up to that altar and I just let it out. And I just allowed God to move in that sense. And I have never felt this presence. I have never felt this place, this comfort, this just surrounding ever in my life. Like, growing up and you know, growing through the motions and just understand, like, I knew the word of God, I knew the gospels, you know, I knew the prayers, I knew the Nicene Creed, I knew our Father, I knew things of that sense, I knew the commandments, the Beatitudes. You know, now you ask me about them and they're like that, because that,
but you knew it from a perspective of just religion,
right?
And not connecting to the relationship of the scriptures, right?
Right.
He is the bread of life.
Or understanding of it, or understanding of his word, because I just,
yes.
they were just stories in a sense. Like, they were stories that you knew, stories that, kind of like a history book in a sense. Mm-hmm. Like, we know history, but we're not connected to it because there's nothing to connect to it, because was back then. Now it's just like, if you have a connection with Christ, those words come alive. They're present. They're today. They're today and they're forevermore. Like, you understand that in that place. And, you know, when I finally felt Christ, like, I no longer had the desires to go back. You know, I had to separate myself from certain lifestyles, certain people that would kind of call me to be out there, you know, like, remembering my past.
Right.
A part that was no longer a part of me because I no longer desired it. And understanding it was beyond measure. And even at times people ask me, like, do you miss this life? And I'm like, no, like there's, like, yes, like, living a Christian walk and walking side by side, it's not always easy. Mm-hmm. You go through tests, you go through trials,
yes.
But it's how you come out in the end that when you refine, that God is just like, it's like no other. Like, I'll go through that moment. Like, if I have to go through that moment
to learn something
or be pressed, to be pressed to get that oil out, like, it's worth it in the end.
Amen. So, hey, I want to pause And I want to do, you know, what we do on this show is we take a little break, give First Lady an opportunity to drink some coffee, you know, take a breath, because sometimes talking a long time can drain you out, and you'll hear like voice cracks, like my voice cracked earlier. But all praise be to God. I want to do a special, you know, coffee and Jesus. You know how we do it, First Lady. I'm gonna put you back behind the scenes real quick, so you can take a little break. I'll bring you back here shortly. And everybody, hey, it's time to do some coffee and Jesus stuff. You guys remember how we do it, right? I want you to throw in the chat coffee and Jesus. Want to get entered into a chance to win a free cup of coffee or tea, whatever. It's a gift card I grant everybody who listens, who's listening to my podcast, and who you have to comment live, though, coffee and Jesus. So if you want a chance to win it, you want to, you know, it's just a blessing, all right? It's a blessing. And it is just my way of blessing you for tuning in and being a part of this. God, there's such a powerful testimony that First Lady's giving. I mean, man, you know, you just see the whole how God does things, and it's so different than the way we would have things done. But yeah, coffee and Jesus in the chat there if you want to enter in. I do a randomizer, so you are randomly, your name is put randomly into a wheel, and it allows you to be able to have the ability to win. But I do want to say thank you for supporting me, all of you who are on today. I'm glad you got up this morning and you are joining us. I know it's early, but hey, you know what? Praise be to God, because this is a blessing. And I believe that this testimony will bless somebody. I really do. For those of my kids or Andrew, brother Andrew, can you go into the Instagram chat? Give me all the names of those that are typing in coffee and Jesus and just take note of them, please. I have to multitask here because I have screens up, but I'm not able to do it all like that. So drop coffee and Jesus. It's your last opportunity. For those of you who are listening on our podcast, we thank you for tuning in. Thanks for, you know, taking your time this morning. We do a live stream, and I do put this on the podcast. So if you're listening later, it's probably because you're listening to a podcast, but it is recorded live stream. All right. I think we slowed down in the chat there. We got a lot of coffee and Jesus's today. Somebody came ready to hear a word. Come on. All right. Well, let's bring First Lady back in. We're going to bring her back. First Lady, welcome back. For those of you who missed the first part of it, we were talking about First Lady's testimony. She's been talking about her own testimony of how the Lord had begun to work on her. How the transformation started, you know, and the impacts of different moments in her life where she was impacted by a prayer, by, you know, somebody's smile, by, you know, just being around, you know, the joy, people, elderly, you know, not even elderly, like, yeah, I mean, like my grandmother, she wasn't that old, but, you know, a little bit more wiser in the Lord, your seasoned sisters in Christ, your seasoned wives that are spiritual. You know, they had been around her. She saw a different side of fun. And I believe where you're ending is we had Kiana, right? We had Kiana already. We had, you went up to Brother Roy. He had made an altar call, and you went up to the altar call. And I was like, what's going on here? You know? And then you talked about the, you know, going through the motion part of the scriptures and you knew the gospels, you know, this stuff because it's textbook literature, right? But I don't think you've really ever connected to understand what you were really reading. It was almost like I was taught to read it. It's almost like now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, kind of thing. Like, you don't really understand what that is. You're just saying it because it's a formality. But then you start realizing, like, wait, now I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I shall die before I awake, I pray the Lord my soul to take, kind of thing, right? And I'm giving you just a nursery prayer, but it's the idea that's behind it is that sometimes we're taught things, but we don't understand it yet until it's revealed to us. So, all right, well, wherever you want to start, we got about 15, actually, we got about 10 minutes. So keep that in mind. 10 minutes, go for it. Where do you want to go from here?
You know, I'll go off of that as well. Like, it was like, learning how to recite prayers, learning how to recite poems or love songs, or in a sense, but we never really went into like the instructions of Christ. Like, I can't remember Like we knew the Gospels, Mark, Luke, and John and Matthew, but it was never past that. It was never like we had to be taught that, but we never connected with it. We're never like, oh, it's not something that we're going to use every day in our lives. Well, at least that's how I felt. I never, like, I knew it. And he's like, well, I remember when I was opening the Bible, he's like, oh, you know where that's at? I'm like, yeah, I know where these are at. I didn't know like the Old Testament, you know, I didn't know very much about the Old Testament. It was more of the New Testament that we were taught on. But I didn't know where the Gospels were, at least that. But it was always just mechanical. It was never like, let me learn this on my own. It was what we were taught, and that's mm-hmm. what we went through. That's what we understood.
Yeah.
It was never something that we sought out ourselves. And of course, being a young person, we're not going to do that. You know, we're not going to go and search ourselves and like, oh, well, if we go out and we do bad stuff, and then we just come back and we confess our sins to the Father, and then he gives us what to pray for, and then we pray for it and we're clean. Like, we can just continue to move on. But having that middle person, that mediator, you never get that connection with Christ. You never learn how to speak with Christ unless you push yourself to do it on your own.
Right.
Now, granted, like, people now, like, I could say, like, my parents, like, they connect with Christ on a different level because they push themselves to learn mm-hmm. more. They dedicate their time. They have dedicated their time, and they changed. Like, they've seen the change in me. What they changed, I don't know. That's all in God's planning and his time. But I do know that they do have a relationship with Christ. And I think that's the important part, is having a relationship with him. Mm-hmm. Because when you have a relationship with him, you don't desire the things of the world. You don't desire to oh, well, let me go out and go clubbing, or let me go out and just grab a drink. Or no, you don't desire those things. You desire more to connect with people. You want a fellowship with people that understand, like, love God. Like, you want to connect more with them, because, you know, that joy that comes off of those people, you want to just receive more and more. And that's what you want to be around. And that's what the desire is, because when you're around others that are just like, oh, hey, let's go do this or that, and you're like, what is the connection? You're like, what? Like, there's no joy from it. Like,
right.
I do it, but the next day I feel like the person, like, I feel like crap.
It's short-lived.
And right.
It's what sin is.
It's a moment. It's a momentary thing, and it's never lasting. Mm-hmm. But Christ is everlasting, and it's just like something that when people ask me, you don't miss that life? And I'm like, no. Like I was drowning. Like, I was drowning. Like, literally, I felt I was drowning, and I was like the loneliest person on earth. Even though
you had all that still.
Yeah, like I had my friends, I had family, they were there, but I just felt like nobody saw me. I just felt like nobody saw who I really was. And I had to pretend who I was around my friends. I had to pretend who I was around my family. And it was never somebody honest and true. Like, I always felt like I had to maintain a certain personality, and I didn't want them to think the worst of me, so I would keep that part on that side. And then with my friends, I never wanted to be called out or different.
Right.
And when they would point things out that I did things differently,
mm-hmm.
change that. I would make sure I was doing the same thing that they were doing. One of them was like, oh, you have good posture. And I was just like, okay, I'm being called out for having good posture. I started slouching, you know?
Oh my gosh. Or, really?
you know, and it was things that I didn't know at that point in time how the enemy was attacking me to make me seem like I was a part of that place, that this is where I belonged.
Mm-hmm.
And I never felt like I belonged into a certain place or a certain group. I always felt like different, because I guess they would call me out in certain things, and I'd be like, okay, or I would be the only one that never tried something. So I would try it in that case.
Just to please the peer pressure.
Just to please the person.
Yes.
With peer pressure, like, they would either peer pressure me, or they didn't want to be the only ones drinking. And there's times where, like, oh, dude, like, I don't want to drink. Like, I'm good. Like, oh, man, you can't leave us like that. Like, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Dumbness of, you know, of peer pressure.
All right. Like, I'm just going to have one, though. Like, I'm not, like, no more than that. Like, all right. Oh, no, that's cool. you know, and mm-hmm. and that's kind of where I never wanted people to feel left out. Like if they felt like they were left out because I wasn't doing it, then I would join them, which is completely the wrong mentality. I should have been stronger and saying like, no, you know what, like, you know, today, like, no, like I'm good. You know, there's things that I made calls on and did dumb stuff. And I knew that it was going to bite me in the end. And I was just like, but, yeah. You know.
Well, let me ask you this. So I want to take the next 4 minutes or so. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. All right. And they're related to your testimony. I just want you to answer. I think there's some key points here. What were the key points do you think of your testimony that made the difference? Like, what was it? If you can give me two or three things briefly, what made the difference in your God transforming your life?
Prayer. I think that was one of the main things, is just hearing somebody pray for me, and you know, that I knew that they were going to be praying for me. That was a big thing. A connection with the family in Christ,
mm-hmm. A body, a community. Yep.
And, just feeling the love, a love that like it's unknown. Like it's a love that's like, you can't get it from anywhere else. Like, honestly, like, the people that have Christ in their life, and they show you love, like, it's like, I want to go back to that place. I want to go back and I just want to hug them, you know? Mm. And you just want to remember that time. And that's why I feel that connection with your grandparents and your family members, because if you needed a hug, they were there to give you a hug. If you needed something, like they were there, and they didn't even have to know you. They didn't. Yeah. I've seen it in so many other people that they just connected with, and maybe it was just mm-hmm. season. But if they talk about them now, like you see where they just loved on them.
You know what? And I think that also, you know, as I looked, because we've been married 23 years, praise be to God. You know, God has been awesome and favored us. I look back at you, your testimony, as you've told me over the years, but I wanted to really pinpoint that the biggest difference for First Lady was she had desired a change. She desired something different. She was in the, you know, in the world, whatever, participating in all the stuff. You heard what she said. You know, you heard a testimony of how she, you know, would want not people to feel bad. So she did things at times to please people. But here's the thing. She desired a change. She didn't, her identity wasn't in that stuff. You know, it wasn't until she said, I want to change, but I want a full change. I'm tired of living this life. It wasn't until then that it's almost like she opened the door and said, God, if you're up there somewhere, hear me. I want to change. Can you come get me? And what did he do? He came and he grabbed her. And, you know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the truth, the way, the truth, the way, and the life. And he is the truth. He is the way to go. And he is the life. So if you're listening and you're saved, praise be to God. If you're not, if you know people that are struggling because they're struggling with peer pressure, you know, they get around their friends, their cousins, and they turn into, you know, what they're not. Hey, desire the change. Ask God to change you. He is faithful to change. He will change you. You know, I think that was something that First Lady, you had talked about in your testimony over the time, that I was like, that was like the starting point. And then the prayer moment, and then, you know, being surrounded with a church community. You cannot afford to be out there by yourself. Satan will go and wreak havoc in your life. I'm telling you this right now. If you do not have a community, a church body of Christ, the body of Christ is many, many believers that go and assemble at the same time. If you don't have that, you're out there by yourself. You're like a sheep. And Satan is like a roaring lion. He's looking to see who he can devour. All right, First Lady. Well, we got like a minute or two left. So what would be your last bit of advice to somebody out there? Maybe somebody who's struggling, who is a Christian, they're struggling, or maybe somebody who's been on the fence. You know, maybe they come from a very religious background, a Catholic, a Jehovah's Witness, those other outside kind of way of thinking organizations. What would you give them? What would you tell them?
In those process, when you process things, when you haven't felt a connection, in your home church, or you haven't felt that calling, or how do I say this? When you haven't felt it, like you understand, like you see people that are involved in the Christian community, and you see like their joy, and you're like, what is that? Like you're trying to figure out what it is, because you're like, I'm going to church, like I serve faithfully, you know, I give offerings, or, you know, and this is just because everyone gives offerings and they serve in their church and they're part of, you know, either like a group that they have in each of the community of the churches, but you're still missing something. It's because you're missing that connection with Christ. Mm-hmm. And if you can surround yourself with people that love Christ, the people that like maybe you've come across, or they say, hey, you know, I just want to pray with you. And you're like, okay. And you can feel that presence, that that's mean that it's a calling that God is calling you, and he's trying to change your walk. And you've been desiring something. If you're asking for change and you're seeing it and you're like, what am I going to do here? Like, and you're seeing it, like, search for it, like search Christ, search his word. Like, don't just go off of what other people are telling you. Like, you need to have that connection with Christ on your own. Like, search the word. Like, you know, even Google helps. Like, you're just like, okay, what does this mean? And what does this say in the Bible? And it'll take you to the scriptures. It'll take you where, you know, God is what he's trying to explain. And, you know, we have all these resources at our hands, and
yes.
And even those, like searching a church, like, you know, Google helps mm-hmm. in that case too. Like, you right. search in Google's and he'll tell you, like, it'll tell you where the church that you're looking for. And, you know, all these services are now streamed online, and that's how people connect with churches. Like, they're like, okay, like, what is this church about? And like, I want to go visit. So when you finally go and walk into that place, you kind of have the community already in mind, but then you kind of see who they really are. And I would just recommend somebody just connect with Christ, and all, like, just connect with him.
Yes. Well, First Lady, thank you so much for spending your morning with me. I know it was kind of like a surprise for her. She's not a very social person in a sense of beginning and speaking, but look what God has done. God has really blessed her. She's improved and grown a lot in this. Before, she wouldn't even get up in here and say anything, but God has done it. The Spirit has moved in her, and it is evident. We love you. We thank you for being on here. I'll see you here in just a bit, but thank you for taking the time. God bless you, First Lady.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. So I hope you are blessed. I really do. I pray that you are blessed by this, just this testimony. It's different, right? You guys know me. You hear from me. If you know me, my family, you know my testimony at times. You know, there's certain things, but I felt it was important to bring First Lady on because I was like, you know, it's not always about the church folk that are raised in church. That are not in church, and they come to Christ and see the transformation of what God can do in your life. That's huge. So I encourage you, reach out if you need help, if you need something that we can be a blessing, if we can pray with you, if we can be a service of any way and any way for you, please reach out. I want you to know out there that the music's not too loud. I lowered it down for Sister Tracy. She's so funny. Sister Tracy goes to our church, by the way. So anyways, if you don't have a church, hey, if you don't have a church, Jubilee Ministries, we are your place here. We'll love you. We'll care for you. And we are located here in El Paso, Texas. And if not, if you're in a different city or state, reach out to me. I might know somebody. I might get someone to be able to help you out, and in that way they can plug into you. But thank you so much for tuning in. Let's end with a prayer. If you would just bow your heads right there where you're at. If you're driving, just listen and let me pray over you today. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful, wonderful testimony that has been offered up unto you, Lord. I pray that every word that has been rendered to you, God, would all go back to you, that you would get the glory. God, we do this for you. We don't do this for ourselves. We do this so that you get the glory, so that you would draw all men toward you, Lord Jesus. And I'm praying that in the mighty name of Jesus, that you would bless, God, the testimony, bless the people, Lord Jesus. Let them feel the anointing. Let them feel the power of the Holy Ghost, God. And I pray for that viewer, that listener, God, that doesn't know you, God, that you would bless them and call them to salvation, God, that you would call them to the baptismal waters, Lord, that they would become a new creature, a new creation, God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for them today that they would have a blessed day. Everybody that is on this call, that is listening, may the Lord continue to bless you. May his favor go before you, and may you walk in the way, the truth, and the life. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in.